Hey everyone, so this episode is a client interview with our client Sol, who graduated from our Factory Forge Momentum program. So we're really excited to share his journey, things that happened in his business, and the wins that he had while going through Factory Forge Momentum. And we're really excited for you to hear what that's like. A big promise that we make for people who joined Factory Forge Momentum is that you will learn how to sell profitable group memberships in your market, and you will sell your first 10 while inside the program. We make sure that you make back your investment and some, and then also completely change your business model so that the sales going forward are just more profitable and allow you to pay yourself, have some profit, and really, you know, enjoy running a business because it can support your lifestyle, your career long term, and it's more fulfilling. So we're super excited that we're going to get a chance to hear from Sol. And so, yeah, that is what this episode is. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
All right. Hey, welcome to our client spotlight. Joined today, special guest, Sol from West Metro Strength, and Andrea, our marketing director here. What's up, guys? Welcome.
Thanks. Welcome,
Sol. Cool. Well, fun day today planned. We like to interview our clients and understand, you know, Sol, really where your head was at before we got going, and really tap into the understanding, the way you're viewing your business, the thoughts, the feelings you're having towards even seeking help and, you know, making business decisions in your gym. And then fast forward, you know, after making changes and working on, you know, new processes, new ways of doing things inside your business, what it looks like on the other side of actually taking that leap of faith, getting help, and making the hard decisions of honestly changing maybe old ways of doing things or past ways for new. And that can be scary at times. So I think these calls are some of the best for getting other owners in tune with the steps you made and that it's actually possible to get unstuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, cool. Let's kick it off. I think for everyone out there listening, it'd be great to just get an understanding of a little bit of where you were at before starting our Factory Forge Momentum program, which is a 12-week marketing and business coaching program. Can you kind of just give us the state of mind, state of business in terms of maybe like revenue, current members, and prices you were charging? That would be really helpful to set some context.
Yeah. So, kind of the long, short story, I've been in the industry for, this will be my 20th year. So I started off in corporate fitness. So like Bally's, 24 Fitness, running gyms all the way up to the top and things like that. And then opened my own gym in 2009. We affiliated with CrossFit in 2012, dropped that in 2020, and are still going. And so I've ridden the whole roller coaster of the industry. And I was really just at a point where, as an owner, I was just burnt out. I was tired of the roller coaster. I was tired of, you know, feast or famine, having great months where it's like, wow, this is amazing. And other months where I'm like, oh, I don't get a paycheck. Okay. Right. Everybody else got paid, but I didn't get paid. So I was just burnt out. And to be honest, I reached out to you guys probably, I would say, I mean, not too late, obviously, because we're still going and we're on the upswing, but almost too late. And what I mean by almost too late is like, I almost had to go get just another job to pay my bills. And I don't know if I could run the gym anymore, close it, what I was going to do. I pretty much kind of let it run into the ground a little bit because I'd just gotten so tired of doing all this stuff. And I have come to find that I really got tired of doing all this stuff because I wasn't getting paid for it. So now that I'm actually seeing the benefit and of all the work I'm putting in, it makes it much more enjoyable again. Like I'm having fun, not just coaching classes, because I've always had fun coaching and training and things like that, but I'm actually having fun running the gym again, which is something that I had probably lost for the last couple of years.
I love that you got that kind of energy back. You mentioned something really important. Can you think back to some of the indicators that were going off in your head of like, I'm either heading down a path that doesn't feel like growth, you know, and doesn't feel good? You mentioned nearly driving, you know, the business in the ground. What things popped up to kind of lead you to believe that?
So I wasn't doing anything for marketing. So bringing in new members post COVID has been a trickle for me. I mean, we had when gyms opened back up, maybe a little uptick there and kind of got excited about that. But then for the most part, I wasn't doing anything to drive new members. And then there's natural attrition that happens. So just watching that bank account and that EFT, you know, kind of dwindle over time. And I wasn't doing any, like I was driving the ground by meaning like I wasn't doing anything to solve it.
Got it.
You know, what do you think kept kind you, of letting it be.
What do you think kept you in that for as long as it did? Because for you, you had some marketing knowledge. Like, I don't think you were completely green to like, I don't know what a lead is, right? Like you knew like, okay, I've done this before. Like you've run campaigns. So you had an idea of how to potentially start the back up. But yeah, it seems like you were in waiting period. And then there was a tipping point where you were like, all right, I need to do something.
So I worked with another company, which I won't say their names on this, but I worked with another company in the past and they really kind of, they did really good as far as holding your hand. There was videos showing you how to set everything up, but there wasn't a lot of learning the why behind the what stuff. So if it was given to me, I was good with, putting it out or doing, you know, make, you know, doing the mechanical piece of it, but the actual creating and editing and altering and stuff like that, I didn't feel super confident in. And working with you guys, you kind of, there's kind of that first piece, there's stuff there to get you started and get you going and get out there. But the encouragement that you guys have given us to like, well, you need to make it your own and you should be doing this. And here's how you review it and change it out and get content from your gym and all that kind of stuff. So now I feel like I can sub ads out, like watch how they're going, sub them out when needed, and kind of actually own it versus just run the play I was told to run. Right. So I didn't feel like I'd learned. I worked well, I made a lot of money in a short amount of time and it went well while it went, but it was a lot more work than my brain could handle long-term. I think I'd mentioned before on a previous video that we did together that it felt like a, like boiler room kind of thing. Like we could, you know, it was, we're going hard, but you can't run like that forever. And so it didn't set my business up for the long term, just the short term. And I didn't feel like I learned anything, other than maybe, you know, some sales and confidence there and whatnot and big ticket stuff. But, that would be the big difference. That would be like, I learned how to do it mechanically and follow directions and put up what I needed to do, but I didn't learn how to do it on my own. And therefore I felt no confidence in it.
What, so this comes to mind. So right, we're right at that point before, you know, we're getting worked, you know, introduced even, we hopped on a call when we first talked, but you know, what was the hardest part of the business? You mentioned some of the, challenges on the marketing side getting in, but like as an owner, you know, what was really giving you the most friction, to want to reach out?
So, making the business, you say in there, what is it? It's like lean, simple, profitable, right? And that was what resonated with me. I was getting your emails for months before I finally reached out to you guys. Like I knew I was going to reach out to somebody and I knew it was going to be Factory Forge based on the messaging and things like that. Mm. And some ties I had with your company in the past, with Granite Games. So I knew that's the direction I was going to go. I don't know why I waited so long for it. But I don't know. I got lost on there. What did you actually ask me there?
Oh, that's perfect. And honestly, it's interesting how you knew you wanted to get help. And you've said this to me in the past where it's like, I wish I would have started earlier. And it was interesting how it's like, you knew deep down you needed to make some changes. And in the long run, I hear, you know, in many ways you're looking for that guidance and plan. Cause like you said, you've done a lot on your own and were a great executor. You just kind of got stuck.
I think I've always been a good executor. Like if you go all the way back to like Bally's 24 Fitness, I mean, I was 19 when I was a fitness manager for Bally's. I only worked there 4 months before they promoted me. When I was at 24 Fitness, it was 10 months before I became a fitness manager and another year before I was a club manager. You know, if the systems and processes are in front of me, I'm really good at executing them and getting done what I need to get done. I would say the biggest change, now answering back to that question that you had, the biggest change is, help with developing and then the encouragement and push to actually get it done is building systems and processes. So as much as like, I've been in this forever, I was terrible about that. Like when it's been my own business, I've never had a real clear marketing and sales plan, you know, or social media plan. I've never had a real clear staff development plan or onboarding. It was like, hey, yeah, let's sign up. Let's throw them in class. Or we had foundations for a long time or this and that, but it changed kind of as my opinion changed. It changed, you know, if I felt like a system was needed, but it was never a lot of follow through. It was never really written down either. Like, this is how we actually do things. It was just how I was doing it at the time. And so now walking in, I know, like, if I hire a new employee, this is my process for onboarding them. If I bring in a new member, this is my process for bringing them on. This is what their first interactions look like, their first day looks like, their first week, their first 12 weeks, and transitioning on after that. And it's all clearly laid out to where I can not just keep it in my head and it's what I do, but it's, I can pass it on to my employees and potentially a future owner if I ever decided to sell the business. That I think is what makes going to work, even though I'm doing it from home, obviously, going to work much more enjoyable, because I feel like there's always a plan and you just have to execute on the plan. And I don't have to think about what to do. It's just keep going.
I think that's interesting that you share that, because you already kind of identify as like, I'm a good executor. If you give me the system, the plan, I will execute. And it makes sense because you've had a lot of proof to prove that. You've managed people, you've done it for other companies. But I think something interesting and unique that comes with being a CEO and owner is that you have to create those processes. You have to create those things. And no one people have trained you and taught you how to manage, but no one like really trains you and teaches you how to be an owner or CEO. You're typically just thrown in there and you have to figure it out. And like, that is why like the guidance and business coaching like really helps with like that area of it, because it's like, there's management schools, but there's no like CEO schools or like owner schools. Like there's no really formal teaching of like, how do I create and think like a CEO? How do I think about processes? How to create efficient, you know, ways to do something. So that was, cool.
I mean, like hiring people in the past is like, okay, well, you have to show me you want to do this by getting your certification. Then you're going to shadow with me for an undetermined amount of time till I feel comfortable with you on the floor. It very much like my onboarding was similar to the shadowing portion of the PCD we have now.
Okay, so I was referring to the PCD, which is essentially just a course that we share with our clients that walks them through how to onboard, train, and really lead a coach into coaching on the floor, like, you know, everything that they need to know to become a professional coach. So PCD stands for Professional Coach Development Program. That's what he's referring to. Just wanted to insert that in case you're like, where are we? What are we talking about? And he was essentially saying that before, you know, he would ask somebody to get a certification and then just like shadow me and I will kind of teach you how to do this. But with the PCD course, there is a training module that they watch. There is just a lot of support in making sure that the quality of your coaching stays up to your standards, even when you're bringing in new coaches. So things like that, the systems, the processes that you have in your business make such a big difference, because if you have something set up, you're going to feel more confident about your service, your delivery, your team, and that is going to reflect how confident you feel in your prices, right? And so when we talk about charging profitable rates, and it's not just like, you know, charge the rate and then that's it. You have to also up-level the quality of the service, and that means having systems to really train your coaches.
But it was very subjective just to me. And we kind of broke down, they take care, part of this, they take part of that, but having an actual like training module and a way to progress them and give them the ability to get the feedback they need, not just me constantly telling them, but it actually is a learning process for them. I love it. I mean, once we got it finalized, we rolled it out to all our current coaches too. We made everybody go through it.
Love that. Yeah. It's like when you have a roadmap, and you have ideas as an owner of how you want to execute, but if it's not clear and formatted in a way, it's hard to implement something or even get started. You said something I want to go back to, and this has to do with that moment you decided to invest in us, and you said lean, simple, and profitable. I feel like in the industry that we're in, you can't scroll through Facebook and see, you know, advertisements, you know, I'll fill your gym in 30 days. And if I don't, I'll pay you, or all these messages out there. Yeah. What made you gravitate towards, you know, running a simpler model, a leaner model, when the status quo is kind of the other direction? I'd love for you to kind of open that up for a lot of gym owners out there. They kind of feel like there's only one way to do it in a sense, and that's what they're marketed.
Well, so I guess with working with the previous company, one of the big marks that they have when you go to like the annual summit that they do is anybody who's had at least 1 month of $1 million run rate.
Okay.
I think that's like 72 or 82,000 or something like that, right? Yep. 81,000. If you do that in a single month, you're now like $1 million run rate. If you were to do that for 12 months, that's what you would get. Now, the problem is it's not so as simple as like we get up there, we do that. That's largely done through really high ticket front end sales, a lot of revolving door, not a lot of value built into the program or the person. And when you have that many members, now we're talking 200, 300, maybe 400, 500 members, you lose a lot of the personality and the personal human connection to those people. Like I can't know 500 people really well.
Yeah.
And so that didn't appeal to me anymore. I mean, it is definitely the way I thought in the past. I was like, math is, here's where I got to be. I got to be at 250 members. It's also something I've realized is way less attainable than people like to think. You can say things all you want. Like, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea, so to speak. Like if you could only have this super small percentage of the market and how many people are around your gym and blah, blah, blah. It's not that simple. It's not just like, well, if you open a gym, they'll come. So you've not only got to open the gym, have the right offer, but you got to find them in the right way. And so what appealed to me wasn't just the simple lean, simple, profitable, but it was also some of the other messaging you had about finding ideal clients and clients that are willing to pay what you're worth, things like that. And so that's what I was most intrigued in. It wasn't raising prices so that I could still have 250 members and this super high price rate. I totally understand the math is like, if I charge more, I don't need as many people. If I charge less, I need more, right? Like I don't understand how these $10 a month gyms do it physically from working in that type of fitness before and knowing what EFT looks like and rent looks like on those buildings. I'm like,
right.
I don't understand it at all. So looking at that, I was like, okay, I like to invest in people. I got into this as a personal trainer, one-on-one. I didn't get into this because I worked out at a CrossFit box and I was like, man, this is awesome. I want to open my own. I did it because I've been in the industry for a long time, starting just as a personal trainer, 19 years old, you know, talking to people on the treadmill. And so I wanted that. And it felt like your messaging was pushing towards a smaller, tighter community that's going to pay a reasonable rate for what we're offering and offering something different than just the next CrossFit gym or small group gym or 24, like Orange Theory, things like that. And so that's what I was interested in. It was being different than others, being paid for what we do and keeping it small and simple. That small and simple doesn't mean we don't make money and we're not trying to be profitable.
Right.
It just means I don't need to have 500 members to be profitable.
Yeah. Simple, lean, and profitable.
All right. There's one follow-up question. And I think this is a lot of owners on the fence of like, how do you get the courage to make an investment in a coach? And that's scary for a lot of people. And you did it in a point where you said like, I nearly was driven into the ground and you still, you know, made that decision. Like, can you open and expand that? Cause a lot of people need to understand where your head was on that.
So part of it was like, I mean, this is going to sink or swim us. I'm either going to pay this money and it's going to put me out of business. It's not going to work. Or if I don't pay this money, that's going to happen anyway. Like I'm already going that direction anyway. And so I equated a lot to like the people we talk to on the phone and get started at the gym. Like they've tried on their own and it's not like fitness and nutrition for most people. This isn't 100% for most people. It's common sense. Move more, eat better things. If it's real, if it's a fruit, veggie, things like that, people know that. I mean, I would think instinctually most people on this planet, in this country, know that a Big Mac is not better than some chicken breast and broccoli, right? They're not like shocked that the Big Mac was the worst choice. So it's not that I didn't know what to do. It was one, I didn't know exactly how to do it. That's one of the big things that people come to us for is the knowledge. And then the other big thing is I really needed somebody not just to teach me, to like hold me accountable. And so having my meetings with you, having our weekly calls with the group, like those types of things hold you directly and indirectly accountable. You know, you want to be part of the, everybody else is doing well in the group. You want to be doing well too,
right?
Everybody else got their stuff updated. You want to make sure yours is updated. And so it's part of being, it's exactly like what we offer in the gym, right? Where we offer the knowledge for people, we're holding them accountable, and that group environment plays a huge, huge role. And so I kind of equated in that as I knew I needed what I offered, but I didn't need a gym. I didn't need somewhere to work out. I needed someone to help me with my business. And but for all the same reasons that people reach out to me.
So I wanted to add here that it's very interesting the parallel between what you offer for your clients and members and what we offer for our clients and members. And it's the same across the board, right? As people, we want someone to guide us, to show us the way, to show us like what works and what doesn't. For your members, that is you. You are the expert. You are the guide. You are the person that's going to show them, here's what you actually need to do and here's what you need to avoid. The crash diets, the gimmicks, like you can just forget about those. And here's the real things that you need to focus on. In the same way, that is what we do for our clients, right? There are so many different, like just so much noise in the gym consulting space that sometimes you really just need someone who has been doing it for decades to say, I have tried all that and here is what actually works. So there is a big parallel that, that we see there. And that is so beneficial once you realize like, man, like the work that I offer my clients, I could also benefit from.
Right. Right. Yeah. You were at this point where, you know, in many cases, there's a shift in you as the owner, not just towards the simple, lean and profitable, but like the business needed to make money. You know, that's always the case. There's a, with you thinking back on our initial conversation, a lot of it was like the difficulty of running the operation that you had, like that was wearing you, the lifestyle component. So yeah. It's not always just like one thing, you know, and it's just cool how you were able to recognize that it wasn't always just about money. There is a lifestyle component as being an owner, how difficult that business is to run and keep it going, you know, and that matters if we're talking about long-term sustainable business ownership.
Well, I think the biggest shift for me, and this was some tough conversations with my wife, Amy, with the business, was when you've done something so long, you're perceived as an expert. Like, you know what you're doing. You've had this gym for 14 years. You got it down. And I had to really just humble myself and say, look, we're hiring Chris. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And while there may be some things that are counter to the way I've always done them, what I've been doing is not working. And so I've got to check that ego at the door. And so one of the big questions that comes up, I think we've talked about a lot and a little bit before the call, is when it came to our raising our prices, I based on having conversations, you know, in the group calls and whatnot, I feel like I was probably one of the least resistant to that you worked with. I was just ready.
We had one call.
I was like,
and you had an appointment set up that same day. And in that moment, I feel like you were ready.
New prices.
Yes. I mean, it took one conversation for us to get on the same page on that. You were ready. Well, I think mentally, that is.
Well, and the biggest thing, And I know Chris, if you're watching this, I know Chris has told you this or you've heard this, but if you haven't, I'm going to say it. Large group training and small group training cannot be the same price. You cannot compete marketing wise with like an F45 who's got celebrities and things like that and Orange Theory and all that, but you're also not offering the same thing as them. And so you shouldn't be competing on price. It's not apples to apples. It's like apples to steak. It's completely not even the same food group. And so that was the big shift for me. I'm like looking at these other, what I considered to be my competitors at the time. And I'm like, well, they're at this and they're at this. And I'm like, wait, we're not even offering the same thing. The amount of attention we can give people because of the size of our classes, because of our format, the types of movements we can do, they can't literally logistically safely cannot do. Why am I even comparing myself? So I just erased that off the board. I'm like, that's not a competitor. Now, a similar type gym like mine down the street, not charging what we are and still competing with them, I really implore them to raise their rates as well. Like, I think we all need a boost.
I think that's a great point. So, you know, heading down this road of price, because price is important to profitability and to charging your worth. And I think that shift in small versus large group training, you had basically solidified your identity and said, we are a different service. We do provide enough and are worth it. And at that moment, you know, I know we laughed about this in a single phone call, but in that moment, you know, we were talking about going from an average of $135 a month up to selling a $340 a month program.
So I wanted to add context to this pricing. Saul had an average of $135 a month for his group members. And so when Chris is referring to him increasing his prices to $340 a month, I just want to be clear that that is a group membership that he is moving up to that price. So it's not like he's charging $340 and offering group plus one-on-one plus nutrition support. It is solely a group delivery. And I just want to make that clear, because something that we believe in is group is valuable enough. It's valuable enough for your clients to pay $340 a month, $240 a month, you know, whatever it is. Now, the payment and pricing strategy is going to be different for new members versus for old members. So in later on in the interview, I'll kind of expand on that, but I did want to kind of just add context to that.
What was that like, you know, from an operation standpoint, from an impact standpoint on you? I know you received it, you know, in a readiness state, but what, you know, your business partner, your wife, how was she in that? Like, cause that also matters. I'm just kind of curious of that big leap, talking to people about how to get your head wrapped around that and like why you think it's worth it.
Well, I think when I say Amy and I had to have some conversations, she was definitely on team, we got to do something different. Okay. So she wasn't hesitant. She was like very on the same page and even pushing me to be like, let's just go from scratch. If we're going to spend this money, she was hesitant potentially to spend the money to work and do momentum, but also recognize that we needed to do something. But it's once we made the decision to move forward, I think what we told you, we're 90% there after our call. It's really, are we going to pay it up front? Are we going to do the weeklies? And we scheduled our next appointment. I was like, you can charge me that day and I'll let you know which one to do. We got off the call and basically it was, if we're doing this, not if, like we decided we're doing this, if we're doing this, it's all in. We're not holding back anymore. So there's that piece, that there was a lot of support there from her. But as far as the worth piece, our conversations around like how long I've been in this industry, what knowledge I have. I mean, I'm not trying to be arrogant here, but I am a good coach. I've been doing this for a long time. All of that, along with the current model not working, and I've done big ticket sales before, asking for the price is not my issue, because I value my program and I value my coaches and I value myself. And so that piece, but if those are kind of the things, right? If you don't have confidence that your program's worth it, you can fix that. That's small changes to add value. If you don't feel like your staff is worth it, then you probably need to fix that. And if you don't think you're worth it, you're probably wrong, to be honest. Like, yeah, you probably are worth it. And those other two things are fairly fixable, right? And so once you have the mentality of like, no, this is where I should be at, it's really not that hard to ask for.
What was it that
most thing they can say is no?
Completely. Yeah. It's like, if you don't ask, you don't win the opportunity to even get a yes. What was the moment that, you know, you went from being underpriced? Because I get the sense of like, you had a lot of confidence to your point of saying, I've been in the industry a long time. There's a lot of thoughts you have about being worth it, but it took that conversation to validate and to say, hey, we have to increase the rates to this. And there's a lot of gym owners, you know, did something happen in that moment? Was it validation? Was it the guidance, the steps? Like, what made you just be so okay with that rate increase or ready?
So I'm very math and science brained. Okay. As you know, I'm also in nursing school and things like that. So that's just the way my brain works. So we did a couple things. One, it was the worth standpoint and differentiating. Step one was differentiating myself from large group fitness in my head.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we are not the same. Okay. Step one, we shouldn't be charging the same. Then step two was just going through the breakdown with you of like, okay, if this is how we estimate your expenses and your future expenses and where we want, not just where you're at now, but the gym we're trying to build to grow into, like having budgeting for staff development, something I've never budgeted for, right? Things like that. Like, if I want to have this perfect gym, how much is that going to cost me a month? And we came up around 25, 28,000, somewhere in there. And that was with profit in the business, yep. You know? And so not just month to month, but building about $5,000 a month in profit. So with all that being said, then we said, okay, how many members or how many classes do you have? And how many people can you fit in class? And how many blah, blah, blah. And you just, it was kind of a simple math equation to say, okay, this is how many members you need. And I hate to be somewhat cold about it, but it just came down to, this is the money we want to be at. This is how many members we can accommodate. That's the price. I feel like that's step one. Step two now is like, I can't say, hey, this is the money we need to be at, and this is how many members I have, divided by them, and just make them all pay me $600-$700 a month.
Right.
That's not fair to them. It's fair to me for them to pay the rate that we've deemed appropriate. And then it's fair to them that I fill in more members to get the rate, to get the total revenue up, and not just put it all on them. So it was kind of, I saw it as a meeting in the middle. Like, I'm going to bring the membership numbers up here, but they need to bring their price up here.
Right.
And so it was more mutual. So we had some members that were like, what the heck? And immediately, as soon as I announced the price increase, told me they wouldn't be continuing. We had some that didn't say anything. And then right before it went into effect, they let me know. But we had a decent number of people stay. One of our biggest problems, back to running my business into the ground, is that 135 we said it was at was totally an average. My actual price was 187 at the time.
Okay, so I wanted to explain that. So Saul referred to his average price at 135, but that wasn't actually really accurate because it's the average, right? So he had some people who were paying $99 a month. He had some people maybe at 115, some people at 145. And then the last few people that he enrolled were at 187. So he had already gotten himself to a place where he thought, I should be charging 187 a month. He just hadn't done the work of getting everybody on board, right? Getting the person who was paying $99 a month, 115. He hadn't brought those people along to the newest rates. And so that's super important because for him, the bridge is it's 187 to his new prices. Now he's going to talk about them. He's going to refer to them as the ICO and CCO. And when he does that, I'll kind of explain what that is.
So I only went from 187 to, on my CCO is 228. My initial offer is 348 every 4 weeks.
Okay, so that came in a little faster than I thought it would. So The way that we teach pricing strategy and program structure is just to keep it very simple, right? Simple, lean, and profitable. So we recommend our clients offer two group programs that are priced at a profitable rate. One of them is the ICO. An ICO stands for an initial coaching offer. This is only offered to new members. And then there's the CCO. The CCO stands for the core coaching offer. And this is offered to existing members and people who are going to continue to renew and stay long-term. An ICO is only a three-month coaching program. 3 months, because 12 weeks is really what it takes for someone to see transformations in their, you know, fitness, health, weight. And so that's a good time for the client. It's also the amount of time that you need in order to get back your cost of acquisition for new members. The CCO is just what you need in order for, you know, you to be charging a profitable rate, meaning all of your expenses are covered, your salary, and you have profit left over by charging that rate. So that is the difference between those two. The biggest reason why you charge more for an ICO than a CCO is because a new member is just gonna cost you more than a existing member. And so you want to build in that price into the ICO. So that is why for Sol, his ICO was $348 a month for 3 months. And his CCO, which is what he needed to bring his entire membership to, was $228 per month for 6 months or 8 months or however you want to, you know, make that term to be. So just wanted to explain that to give you more clarity.
But I had like one guy paying $106 and it was all over the map. And then I had a ton of people, tons of people that were on like 3, 6 or 12 month prepaids. And we got rid of all that. Literally, when I go in to drop down and sell a membership now, it's ICO or CCO. That's like, there's two options. That's it.
So what you're describing is there was a lot of different price tiers, the different options to sell, a lot of offers that you were putting out there.
And a ton of discounts, like discounts for this or that, or, you know, sometimes like it was just like whatever to get the sale. And we essentially were like discounting ourselves out of business. It was like, if everybody I had gone and done a marginal increase back from where we were charging $99 a month back in like 2010, all the way up, we'd be roughly where we're at right now. Like I had somebody that I can't remember exactly when they started, but the math worked out perfectly. If I did a 3% increase every single time, they came in at 140 and I never raised people's rates. And so if I had just raised her 3%, it came out to exactly 228, which is where we're at now.
It's so funny that Sol did this because I have done this. I've done the math of like, man, if the gym industry as a whole started increasing their rates 3% every single year since like 2008, like literally just to keep up with inflation, where would they be? And so assuming that people started at $100 in 2008, if you go ahead and do a 3% increase every year, you will see that your prices should really be in the 200 range, right? And so that's just interesting to note that a lot of times why maybe our messaging feels strong, like how are we supposed to be charging $245 a month? Like that seems crazy. It's not necessarily because it is crazy. It's because like, oh, it's that we're correcting a price that hasn't really been altered in the last couple of years, right? Like it's never been changed. So yes, if you are fixing something that is a decade-long problem, it is going to feel drastic. But once you do that, you're going to see, oh, wow, like this actually feels really good, really reflective and representative of like the value that we give. And like, oh, look at that. I can now pay myself consistently.
That wasn't intentional. I just went into the math. I was like, how close would it be if I just actually did this? And I was like, and then 228 and no change. Just this is where it would have been if she got an increase every year. And so those are the types of things. It's like, had I just done this little by little over the years, we probably wouldn't have been in the financial place we're in. People probably wouldn't have scoffed at paying over $200 for us because they gradually moved up to 200 and gradually moved over 200 versus a big jump. And I chose to just do the big jump and rip the Band-Aid off because I was just ready to be like, this is the program and this is how we're moving it forward and the value I see in it. there was a little bit of you're coming with us or you're not. I hope you all are, but I didn't find it fair to bring people in at this higher rate or raise some people and not others. It just made it more sense to just say, this is where we're at and give, I didn't give people the full 3 month lead up. I think we were about 2 months before I raised the rate, maybe 2.5 months.
Yeah.
I picked October 1st. And I was like, that's good. The 1st of October, any bill from this point on is this much. So if your bill is September 30th, you lucked out, you get one more.
Can you talk about that process a little bit of you've established your price points.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten to the confidence level of charging rates because, and this is an important piece you mentioned, was you had the belief that you were worth more, but until it was coupled with the financial analysis of saying, oh, this actually takes all this work to create this service, plus be able to market and promote the company to get new people in, I was forgetting to add a lot of these line items in there, and that was costing me. And then it's the combination of that actually you were able to move forward with confidence.
So Chris is talking about our pricing strategy here, and the way that we help our clients price their memberships is very strategic, right? So we want to build in owner's pay, profit, taxes into the price, right? It's not just what's everyone charging, but we want to actually pay you for the work that you do to service and market your gym, right? And so what are the costs that it takes to service? So likely programming, writing emails, meeting with clients, staying before and after, like you have to be paid for the service you're doing in the business, but then you also have to be paid as the owner for the high level thinking that you are executing and the strategies that you are coming up with to work on the business. So you have to be paid for both in order for your gym to be a career, sustainable, long-term, you know, way for you to provide for your family. And the second part is marketing, right? Like you have to pay yourself when you are marketing, when you are, you know, scheduling posts, writing emails, going on stories, working on your ads, like all of that time that you spend working on the business, you have to pay yourself for it. And so the way that you're going to do that is you price it into your profitable rates. Another thing is your marketing budget, right? If you're going to leverage paid ads, you have to have a marketing budget. And so in order for you to have that is you have to charge profitable rates. At the end of the day, you cannot run away from the fact that you have to charge profitable rates for your group memberships.
So it's kind of twofold, right? It's one, that differentiating myself from other types of gyms and fitness. And then two, all those things of like just natural increases, my time, cost of marketing, running the gym, adding new equipment. I never took any of that into account. It was just like, well, I guess we need more people. And so if you look at it logically, you're like, well, in 2010, I needed this many people to do everything and have a perfect gym. And if I never raise the rate, I need this many people in 2023 to do exactly the same thing.
Right.
So doubling my membership over the last decade would actually have not netted me any more money in my bank account. It would have just covered the cost of the increase of everything that we're doing over the last 10, 12 years. And so it was, when I'm talking to the members, it was partially a understanding that we need to be paid what we're worth for what we're doing. And also partially just a price correction that we'd never done like an annual increase or anything like that. There's one time I added in we have 24/7 access and I just raised everybody $10, wherever you're at, just $10 more a month. And that was the only increase I've ever given to anybody. In fact, I would tell people for many years, I don't do this anymore, but I would tell people I'll never raise your rate. I feel like I'll raise rates on new people coming in, but never wherever you come in, I'll keep you there as long as you keep your membership. If you cancel and come back, you're subject to new prices, but as long as you keep your membership there, and it's almost like paying for your loyalty, because long-term those people in my mind pay more. Like if I have somebody's paying me $99 a month still, but they've been with me for 10 years, if the average lifespan of a member is around 9 months, they've paid me way more money than this 9 month member at $200 a month. And so that was my thought process. And now it's like, but I'm not incentivized or motivated to treat everybody the same, even subconsciously, not consciously. I've never like, oh, you only pay me this, so this is all you get. I think I actually was more to the whole gym. I'm like, I'm just not getting compensated for this. So I'm not giving what I could be giving. Even my coaching, I think is, I've always been a good coach, but I think even my coaching's increased because I'm just happier to be in the gym in general. So,
I think the pricing strategy in general is like such a important part of creating like a sustainable gym, like even like the work that you do, not feeling resentful about it, even if it is like on a subconscious level, like it shows up, like you're not going to want to innovate. You're not going to think about how do I create better service? You're not going to think of how do I improve this part? Like if you don't feel like your business is giving you enough to, you know, create stability in your life, provide for your family and, you know, build the life that you want, you don't have anything to give because that even requires a different part of your brain, right? Like you have to have stability, security, and even to tap into like creativity, high level thinking. And it all comes back to, well, I could either work hard and work more and enroll more people and get more leads, or I could just sell a profitable group membership to the people who value it.
Well, and that's, so there's another thing that said company owner that I worked with before would say is work, 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 work. It's all about putting in more work. If you work more than the next guy, you're going to win. Nobody's going to outwork me. I wake up in the morning and this is what I do. My most, you know, productive hours are here to here and blah, blah, blah. And it's exhausting and it's not my goal in what we do. But so when it looks like that, so I came to those two realizations and then presenting it to my members, I mostly presented the changes in what we were going to update in the program and how it was valuable to them. I didn't say, hey, based on what 20, you know, I keep saying 24 Hour Fitness because I used to work there, based on what Orange Theory charges and this and that, I'm raising your rate because of this. I didn't say, I did partially talk about the fact that like we've really never really kept up with inflation and things like that, but I mostly just focused on the value and what we believe we're offering, and then this being what we feel is a fair price for what we're offering. And there wasn't like nobody like, you know, threw paint on my car or anything or anything like that. Like they, some people just weren't happy about it and they left. Most people were indifferent or got it. They're like, yeah, it totally makes sense. And I'm not going anywhere. I even had one woman, she asked me, she's like, so the price is going up to this on this day. And I was like, yep. And so I thought she was gonna ask me. I started explaining kind of why and reiterating what I, so we'd put out a letter, an email to everybody with a video in it and explaining all the details and whatnot. And I start going, she goes, stop. I don't care. I'm not going to leave. I don't care what you charge me. I just wanted to know so I can change it in my budget. It's like, okay. But you had mentioned something. So here's where I think gym owners fail when it comes to pricing. We don't think about it. We just look at what everybody else is doing and that's what we should do. So you wouldn't do that in any other industry. If the three of us got together, we came up with a product and say we're getting it made overseas or whatever, like, okay, here's the cost to get it landed. And this is what we're spending in revenue and marketing and all this kind of stuff. So essentially to acquire a client, to get the product into their hands, it's going to cost us, you know, $75 per unit. Let's sell it for 50. Like we would never do that. We like, it's going to cost $75 to get it in their hand. If it's a big volume thing, maybe we're only charging $85 or $90 and we're going the volume game, but we're probably selling it for $150 or $225. If there's a middleman, we're selling to a wholesaler or whatever, but we would never figure out all of the costs of the product and then charge something less. And I think that's the problem is with gym owners is we've not really been groomed or taught or naturally think of all of the steps of the process and all of the costs involved in delivering your program. We're just like, this is what gyms charge. So the only way to make money is to have more members. And it's like, well, no, you just figure out what you're offering and charge what's appropriate to make money.
And then sell it.
And then sell it.
Consistently. That's over and over and over again.
Much more simple.
Better and better at doing that.
Much more simple. I mean, when we're doing sales, if I went back to my old pricing, Sure, I could. There are some sales that I probably lost that I wouldn't have and this and that, but I would still be living that life of feeling undervalued for what I'm doing and always trying to get more and more and more and more clients versus just getting to a point where the gym's sustainable.
Yeah. Before we get into some of the outcomes of the things that you changed in business, I am curious, is there a particular tool in our momentum program or coaching moment that stands out to you as being really a deep rooted shift or epiphany that you look back on?
Working with you specifically first on mindset, but then just building, it's not necessarily one system. It's just having the systems tracking numbers. Like actually knowing how is this ad performing? How have my sales been going? What are my enrollments at right now? How much revenue have I generated in this versus this? And just having that all on a data sheet where I can historically look at my data. I would say from a system standpoint, that's the number one thing because I'm never guessing. I just pull the data, I throw it in. And I might feel this has happened. I might feel like things are better than they are. Sometimes like, oh, wow, that ad was actually at $40 a lead. Or, you know, we didn't sign somebody up in the last 2 weeks. I thought things were going good. And it's gotten the other way too, where I'm like, man, we're just not signing up enough people. And my goal was at this time was 4 people a month in a 4-month period. So that's 16 people. And at the end of month three, I didn't sign up anybody. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And I was at 13 total signups in that 3-month period. So I was actually one ahead because the previous month had been better than.
Right.
Right. And so being able to look at things objectively because you have the data, I think would be my biggest asset.
Yeah.
That I've gained. It's emotional and subjective if you don't have objective data.
What I hear is from the struggle coming in, you felt like you didn't have a good overall organization of how the systems come together, the processes, right? That was the big thing. Yeah, and now you're sitting here saying, I understand from the moment someone becomes a lead to a booked appointment, to a sale, to onboarding, to a member, yep. It, you know, this is all buttoned up and running smoothly like a business should. And
well, and beyond that, I've gotten to the point to where I know if somebody comes in on, if I get X amount of leads, I'm likely to get X amount of new members. So I know how many total leads it takes to get me a new member, but I'm also really starting to see if leads come in from this source versus this source, who's more likely to land as a member. And for me personally, if anybody is wondering, it's Facebook. I would think website would be stronger than Facebook, but Facebook's actually stronger for me than website. Website to me is a lot of people looking for similar gyms, transferring gyms, and we definitely enroll some of those people, and it's great. But the Facebook ads, I mean, the ads clearly kind of tell who we're looking for, and those tend to be better leads.
Yeah. So I think that speaks kind of to your approach, but I want to hear it from you. I mean, before the call we were chatting, you know, you've radically increased the prices from an average of 135 to, you know, 330 plus for new members, in the 220 range for existing members coming over from that initial coaching program. And, you know, you've done that now repeatable times to the point of, I think since we got, you know, really started in this, 23 people coming through the door confidently at that near, you know, double rate that you had charged.
I wanted to take some time to really congratulate Saul for this because this is huge, right? Since us working together, he has enrolled 23 people into his profitable group memberships. That's a huge deal because not only are those people paying the right rate, he now has the skill to do that over and over and over and over again. Inside Factory Forge Momentum, we start off with 10. Why 10? Because 10 is the amount that you need to really believe it yourself, right? Something shifts inside of you when you enroll someone into a profitable group membership. You go from, I don't know if this is possible, there's a lot of doubt, to like, oh my gosh, what? This is possible? And then if you repeat that over and over and over again, 10 times, you believe it and you're going to do it and you're going to do it again and again. So that's very similar to Saul's story. During his time in Factory Forge Momentum, he enrolled 10, and then after he's enrolled 13, and he's going to keep enrolling more members into his profitable group membership in the market that he's in. So super proud of him for that. And yeah, if you want those kind of results, go ahead and join Factory Forge Momentum.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit to your approach moving forward with this system, with this understanding, since changing the old model? Like, where's your head now that you feel like you have this complete control and organization? Where do you take your business now with this superpower of having a lean, simple, profitable business moving forward?
Well, I'm still working on the lean part. There are some costs that I can still cut that I think are now unnecessary. But as far as what we've done and moving forward, the goal right now is to enroll one person a week on average. And so over our 12-week initial offer, that'll essentially become 12 people kind of always being in that initial offer. And that's all at $348 a person every 4 weeks, $1,044. So it's a little over $1,000 per person. And then I'm still waiting for some of the data as far as exactly how many people we're retaining. But that number is pretty high. We rarely lose people from the ICO to the CCO, as long as they make it all the way to the end. We've had a couple medical issues, or we had one person that just decided they didn't like our style of training and what we did. It wasn't what they were looking for. But for the most part, then they drop into that CCO. So the long-term plan is just to keep that system going and eventually move it up to two people a week. And I really think that's just getting more leads. So it's tweaking the website, which now is just tweaks. It's no longer an overhaul. We've got the website changed up and simplified. There's a direct correlation to how much money you spend on ads. So like in October, when I got those 8 signups instead of my 4, I doubled my ad budget and I got double the results that I was looking for. I mean, it's a pretty direct correlation there. So we'll ramp that up. But long-term, the goal is to get right around 115 total members, 115, 110, somewhere in there. I've had as many as, I think, 185, 90 members in my gym. There's some benefits to that. It's fun and things like that, but it doesn't allow you to invest in people in the same way. So I want to keep it small, 100 to 115 members. And then every October now, because that's when we did our price increase, we're just going to give a little bump every year from now on. So we never wind up in this situation again, where, yeah, it sounds like a lot now, but maybe 228 won't sound like much in 10 years. Yeah. 10 years from now, 228 might be like the discount gym. And I don't want to put myself in that situation where inflation rises past me again. So I'm not saying we'll directly tie it to inflation, but we'll look at that. We'll look at our inflation on the business and the costs of rent and things like that. And it'll likely be anywhere between $1 to $3 or $4 a week. So $3 to $12 a month for people, or $4 to $12 a month for people going forward. And I feel like if we do that, we continue to invest in the marketing systems, both time and money, and give a reasonable increase every year, that we're just going to continue to grow the way we've been doing the last couple months.
I love that you said something in terms of enrollment, and this is really important, where, you know, on average, seeking out 5 new members a month, not 20, 40, and to be able to successfully do that, just speaks to not only having the marketing, the sales system down, but, you know, when you charge the right rates, you don't need all of this volume, all of this work to inflate the business up front. And there's an ease about that in you. I see that there's a confidence. So I look at that as one of the benefits, that you've been able to not only get the numbers, but that like ease part of running it, and that stress is really been radically reduced in you. So that's really cool to hear you say that.
Yeah, I used to do, I mean, I've enrolled 20 people into, like, I was enrolling every we would do 6-week challenge starts every 2 weeks. And I've had as many as 20 people start within a 2-week span, all at $600 a piece. And that's great. But I just started 10 last week and I got 20 starting next week and I'm 30, and then I'm going to start another 10 to 20. And it gives us a lot to keep track of. And you can hire and build systems, but once again, that's not really a lean business now to make sure that you never lose traction and momentum on that. You have to continually hire people into those positions. Well, now you have payroll on that. And if you ever shut it down, well, now you have all these people you're paying, but not bringing in the money. And so it just becomes a cycle of like I said, boiler room before, like you're just constantly running into the ground. And it literally, like if you stop, if you're like, I'm going to go on vacation for 2 weeks and turn my ads off because I can't do sales for the next 2 weeks, you come back and you're like, where'd all the money go?
Right. So with that being said, I'd love to kind of close out with this, you know, based on the things that you've been able to achieve working together with us and, you know, the work that you've done, to anyone on the fence, you know, out there, who's maybe done the high volume model, who's tried things and currently feels stuck. What would you say to those people about working with Factory Forged and, you know, seeing some of the changes that you also have?
It's a completely different thought process than you've probably had or been told you need to have. I think we talked before the call about, like, you can't scroll Facebook or Instagram without, if you're a gym owner, you can't scroll social media, you know, for more than 30 seconds or a minute without seeing an ad for, I'll add 30,000 to your gym in the next 2 weeks, 60,000 in the next month, or you don't pay anything, or this and that. It's not that simple. It really isn't. What is simple is having a repeatable process that over time is going to put you into a stable position. Because if I add that 5 members a month, 8 members a month, that's building. That's like layering habits on top of habits. Right. Versus, yeah, I brought in 30 people, but I didn't give them the experience they wanted and they all left. Well, we got to start over. Right. And so if you're on the fence, if you're tired of the roller coaster of up and down, and you're willing to accept that it may not happen overnight, but you're building a foundation that will be much harder to crumble, I would reach out and have a call with Chris, because it's really the difference between building a house of cards that, you know, you can build it up super duper quick, but you turn away and it falls down, you're starting over, versus brick lasts forever. Right. And it's the same thing. That's the same thing with our endurance, right? Like, our endurance is a house of cards. Our strength is bricks. You know, you can stop working out for a little while, you still have strength. You built a foundation. It's the same thing you tell your clients. They're not going to lose 100 pounds in a month. We're going to slow and steady build habits, because I want you to keep it off for the long term. We got to treat our own businesses the same way we treat our clients, and build a foundation, go up from there. If you stumble, you only stumble back this far because you have a foundation underneath you, right? And then you keep moving forward. So if you're tired of doing the crazy stuff and being stressed out all the time, be basic, be consistent. Like, it's basic, right?
Be basic in the most profitable way.
Well, basic as far as, like, what does it take? Put out an offer, follow up with your leads, and which working with them makes that super easy, by the way. Follow up with your leads, enroll people, and repeat. That's it. Just keep doing the normal stuff over and over again.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Saul, for being on. It's just amazing to work with you, man. You got a unique mindset for all things gym, and I appreciate you. And I know there's a lot of people out there that want to take that same leap of faith and trust someone, not only with the experience, but the plan. And like you said, the coaching accountability is huge when you're a busy working professional like us. You need someone there to help support you and make sure you got all the things that you need to be successful. So thank you for allowing us to be that guide. And for you guys out there, if you set a plan
with Chris and you don't follow through on it, he will call you out on it.
It's my job, right? So reach out to me, factoryforge.com/call, set up a call like Saul. I'm a rapper now. That sounded great, but would love to get a chance to talk to you guys. So, all right. Thank you, Saul. Have a great one and appreciate you being on.
Yeah. Thanks, man.